Got old uniforms? Wreaths by Nicole P. has the solution. Nicole, a veteran, handcrafts unique wreaths from military uniforms, a perfect tribute for your loved one's service. Commemorate special moments with personalized wreaths crafted by Nicole. No uniform, no problem. Wreaths by Nicole P. has every fatigue print ready for your custom creation. Explore wreath options at www.wreathsbynicolep.com or message Nicole directly on Facebook. Wreaths by Nicole P. Preserving memories one wreath at a time. Honor the past, celebrate the present.
Grew up with a split household, and just I was fairly alone growing up. Like, I felt I didn't have much of a foundation, so I found food was kind of my comfort. I won't go into details about it, but one household, it was like, didn't eat much, and then I'd go to the other household and I had too much food. So it's kind of a weird dynamic growing up, and I didn't have many friends or anyone to really fall back on. So I kind of just became this, with lack of better terms, like a fat shit. But one day a switch just flipped and I was just determined to become something I wanted to be. I knew I was meant for more.
Welcome to Your Story Doesn't End Here, the mental health podcast of military and veterans who refuse to be silenced. I'm your host, Rachel, and my mission with this podcast is to be a voice for those who don't have a voice, bring awareness to mental health issues, provide value and solutions, and to change the culture when it comes to mental health within the DoD organizations.
Hey, everyone, and thank you so much for coming back for another episode of Your Story Doesn't End Here. Today's guest is Brandon, who is a U.S. Marine Corps 0311 infantry vet and owner of Sustainable Performance. He is a nutrition coach and a powerlifting coach, and on his free time, he helps vets with injuries and pains so they don't have to be limited by their health. Brandon, I am so excited to have you on the show today, and I can't wait to hear your story. So first of all, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for that introduction. I'm honored to be here, honestly.
I love it. So I'm just going to pass it off to you, and you can just share more with the people about your story, where you come from, and what got you to where you are today.
Perfect. Right on. So I started off fairly unhealthy. Like, it was fairly an unhealthy start. I was a bigger kid when I was growing up. It was kind of a switch that changed me, and I kind of had found a passion for hard work, really. When I was in high school, I lost a lot of weight and I just fell in love with fitness, and that brought me to the Marine Corps. Like everyone else, I fell in love with how they spoke about it. So I ended up joining, and I didn't want to do anything else other than infantry. So I ended up doing infantry. Went in, fast forward, I went in, did my thing, and came through a lot of, you know, bumps, as everyone does. I was a squad leader and a team leader for most of the time, and I loved it. I loved the camaraderie, the brotherhood. I loved it all. I did find a lot of bumps along the way. I felt I never really fit in anywhere growing up, and even there, it was kind of a struggle. I was very fitness-oriented, and I knew that I wanted to pursue fitness in some way, shape, or form. So I tried to continue that when I was in. I used it in my leadership to help people throughout their service keep healthy. And I just fell in love with the hard work. I loved the style of it, and I overall loved doing it. Being a leader, it was super stressful. I was super young when I became a squad leader, which was wild to think. I got to be in charge of people who were most of the time were older than I was. And it kind of just puts things in perspective that it doesn't really matter who you are, like where you come from, that you can be something more. But fast forward, I got out of the Marine Corps. I went through 2-3 technically deployments, got out of the Marine Corps, and decided to start my business. I tried to go to school to become a physical therapist. Dropped out first day. didn't go very far. It just wasn't my thing. So I pursued business, as a personal trainer. That went fairly well, went all right, and I ended up becoming a nutritional coach instead. I really ran into a lot of issues mentally, productivity wise. Overall, I mean, I struggled with PTSD, depression, anxiety, sleep. I was put on a bunch of meds and nothing, I just felt like everything was going downhill. I didn't feel like I was becoming anything. And I went from being this leader to nobody really quick. And I lost everyone around me. So it's kind of heartbreaking for a while. Eventually, I found my way to becoming a nutritional coach, and that was kind of my step towards the right direction. And that brought me to a new community. And really, I found a new fire that brought me more fulfillment in life. Becoming a nutritional coach was probably the best thing I could have done, taking classes for that. And I'm still working on continuing my education with that. Now I get the opportunity to help veterans, military, and just people around the world become who they're meant to be, because we served and we've earned that courage and that confidence. And now you get out and it's almost like it's not there anymore. So I kind of want to bring people back to that and reignite their passion for life, really, because we all started with some kind of passion when we joined. And now it doesn't have to end. That's really where I am at now.
I love that. And, I think what's so unique about your story in particular is that, you're not just this like meathead guy that's always been a fitness buff, always been fit, and you decided, I'm just going to jump on the trend because let's be real, nutrition and fitness has very much been a trend, and not, I don't think necessarily a bad trend in all intents and purposes, because being healthy is a good thing, but definitely very much became a trend. And I think when it comes to finding a nutrition coach or a fitness coach or body image coach or anything, like the story, at least to me, is important. Like, I want to know, did you come from a place where you had to build yourself up? And so that's kind of where I want to take this, is you talked about how you had this period of your life where you were not very fit. And then you went into the Marine Corps. And so Marine Corps is obviously not an easy fitness-wise branch of service. I mean, I went into Navy because I didn't want to run more than a mile and a half. So
That's
I
fair.
know that Marine Corps was not it for me. I mean, not that I couldn't have done it, but I just didn't want to do all the extra, right? But I know from people that have gone through Marine Corps boot camp that it is not an easy feat, especially when you get to like the crucible and just doing all the things in between, right? So talk to us about how you got from this point where you are like not very physically fit to the point where you are now a Marine, essentially.
Yeah, so like I touched up on, it was kind of a flip of a switch. I grew up with a split household, and just I was fairly alone growing up. Like, I didn't have much of a foundation, so I found food was kind of my comfort. I won't go into details about it, but one household, it was like didn't eat much, and then I'd go to the other household and I had too much food. So it's kind of weird dynamic growing up. And I didn't have many friends or anyone to really fall back on, so I kind of just became this I with lack with lack of better terms, like a fat shit. But one day a switch just flipped and I was just determined to become something I wanted to be. I knew I was meant for more, really, and that led me to quit pretty much everything cold turkey. I quit all soda and all this stuff, which I don't recommend doing things cold turkey like that. That's not how I teach my guys, but that's just how it happened with me, a flip of the switch, like most big things in my life, which brought me to becoming this, speaking about running a lot. Like, I became super long distance runner kind of guy. I did, Spartan race, whatever, in high school. And I became this really skinny guy. Not much muscle mass, not much to me, just kind of a twig. I went from this big guy. I lost over 60 pounds in 3 months when I was in high school, just grinding. But then I joined because I fell in love with that hard work, that grind. And then I met up with my buddy who was going to the recruitment office regularly to work out. And I'm like, well, I want to. That looks awesome. I saw him throwing up and I'm like, that looks awesome. I want to throw up. So I went and did that and I fell in love. I fell in love with it all. And I just continued to push and build myself up and learn. And that brought me to joining altogether and join. I went to boot camp and I got less fit kind of thing.
Yeah, I hear that with several branches, but I'm curious on the mental side of things because obviously you talk about how you made this decision, which is so important when it comes to changing our lives, is first of all, making that decision and being in a position and being ready to actually change our lives. But was there ever a point where you kind of like mentally crashed or hit a wall or, felt like, oh, I worked really hard at this. I lost all this weight in a certain period of time. And then just kind of hitting a wall, or do you think that joining the Marine Corps was able to help you sustain that part of your life until, I mean, it sounds like even going out of the military, you still were able to somewhat sustain, but I'm curious if you ever hit that wall mentally.
Yeah, so that kind of brings me back. I want to take it back a little bit because with my nutrition and coaching, one of a huge component to make sure somebody is willing to do it is an acronym name, called WAR, Willing, Able, and Ready. And if someone isn't willing and able and ready to do what needs to be done, it's they're not going to do it. And I think when I started, I hit that point, and I almost think some people have to hit that point to where it's like I like to call it a come to Jesus talk, and they realize things need to change. And when I lost the weight and I went towards that, of course I hit walls. Like everyone's gonna hit walls. It's progression isn't linear. It's ups and downs and it's all over the place, and that's okay. There was times I was a little bit pudgier than I would like to be even, especially when I got into boot camp. I gained some more weight. I fell out of it. I got sick. I broke my foot, and I wasn't exactly happy with myself, but I always managed to come back. And I think that's the biggest thing, is just managing to continue and keep getting up and keep going.
I love that. And I love specifically that you make sure that the people you work with are actually ready. Cause I think that there's a lot of people out there that maybe they see the dollar signs or something and they just, they're like, oh, I can help you. Or maybe it is that they know that they can help someone and they feel like if they give them the right systems, they can. But you're so right when you say that, like, you have to be in that position mentally. And that's what's going to push you through those tough times is actually being ready to make that decision in your life. So another thing that you talked about in your initial story was when you got out of the military, when you had that these bouts of depression and anxiety and, just dealing with, I think what's pretty standard for a lot of veterans. I went through it myself, and I think it is harder. This is just my personal opinion, but I feel like it's harder to go into an entrepreneurial journey post-military if you don't have the mindset or tools or, whatever have you set up for that, because it is such a drastic mindset shift from what the military is. So talk to us a little bit more about that season of your life.
Yeah, so I got out and like everybody, I got my DD-214. I was happy. I drove home. I smoked pot for the very first time on my way home kind of thing. I stopped at somebody's house and I felt free for the first time. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm free. That quickly dissipated. I went from that euphoric feeling to I'm alone. Like I have no accountability. I have no nothing now. And nobody understands me, and that's a little soul crushing. A lot of people don't understand it once they get out, that it's you are alone, and you don't have that same accountability, that same brotherhood, and you won't find it in the normal, like normal civilian world. Not quite the same. You can find some things like it, but I think it's super important to connect with vets and keep that connection strong. And it didn't used to be so strong. I think now it's getting better. But with me personally, I did struggle with that depression, anxiety. I've always had some anxiety and some depression. I think just it, I didn't realize how bad it was until I got out. I guess it gave me the breathing room, and once I was alone with my thoughts, I realized how bad everything was. And on top of that, there was I had bad sleeping issues. I had bad, I had PTSD, whatever. But just standard stuff everyone goes through, but not everyone pulls themselves out of. And a lot of I think it's important to understand that it not just veterans or military, but like everyone, that that's not your identity, and you can have these, you can have these things, but they don't define who you are. You define who you are. And I think that was a huge, another kind of a switch. I went through three different therapists. I went through a behavioral health doctor. I went through like all these types of mental doctors, and it was gymnastics for me. And I put on different, a bunch of different medications. Some made me feel kind of good, some kind just terrible. Anxiety went up, depression went up, more just, and then some just made me feel bleh. And it was all just, you don't realize what it's like until you're put on that stuff. Like, hey, I was a leader. I earned my confidence, and now I'm put on these medications, and now I'm at this point where I need to be on these pain meds and whatnot, and they might not be working. You just feel like crap all the time, and it's just, where are you? Like, where did you start? Why are you here now? It's kind of jaw-dropping. And you're still usually, I mean, you're still fairly young, especially infantry guys, we get out fairly young, or now if we have bad backs, we have bad knees, bad everything. So it's like, I'm still this young and I am here. So it took me a while to get out of it, and I still struggle. Like everyone's, you never stop struggling, but it does get better. And I think that's as long as you want it to get better and you are willing, able, and ready to make it better.
So, do you feel like you had a bit of an identity crisis when you separated from the military?
100%. Oh yeah, I think everyone does, right? Most people struggle with that in like civilian life, but military, you go from being this, being in the military, having like your whole life is the military, and then you go to civilian world and you're like, who am I now? I have, who are my friends now? There's no trauma bonding, like nobody understands any of that, right?
No, I feel that. So other than what you have and what you have built with the fitness and nutrition industry, did you connect to any other tribes as far as veterans go, like any service organizations or any groups?
I did not actually. I for the longest time, it really, I was just sulking in my loneliness. I would literally go to a bar and have two beers just to be around people for like almost every night. Like I wasn't an alcoholic or anything. It's just I wanted to be around people, but I didn't know them. I didn't want to know them. It was just the comfort of being not being alone all the time. And I didn't really allow myself to open up to anybody. I didn't allow myself to have a community. And now I have more of a community, especially in fitness, because everyone in fitness is, it's very welcoming. And it kind of looks from the outside, it kind of doesn't look like it, but once you're in it and you understand it a little more, it's very welcoming. And I think that was huge in helping me progress further. But it's still not the same, right? Never will be. And that's okay. I mean, it's not supposed to be.
So just for some context here, talk to us a little bit about what your military experience was like. Were you deploying a lot? Were you a combat? I mean, were you in combat or were you more home-based?
So I was in, so I was in 1-4, Charlie Company, 3rd Platoon, the entire time.
I don't know what any of that stuff means.
That's
Navy were
fine.
petty officers. I hear the
Right.
other branches where they're like, yeah, I'm an Alpha, Bravo, one, two, three. I'm like, cool, what is that?
Right. So I was in the same unit the entire time. I deployed, So I deployed first to like almost as soon as I got to my unit, we deployed to, it was just Japan, nothing crazy. The second deployment was the border. That was interesting. Pretty, it was pretty wild out there. A lot of
U.S.
stuff.
Mexico? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was, we were there right before the army took over. So we were there for quite some time. We took over from the reservist unit there. So we were there for a little bit. And then my last deployment was shortly after that. Like we went straight into it almost. It was during the beginning of COVID, which made everything worse. And it was 9 months at sea pretty much the entire time almost because of COVID. That was rough for a lot of people. That was mentally rough for a lot of people. I think, especially for me, it was just weird. We were in different places then. We're super confined. We didn't have much outside communication. That was, like I said, it was weird. Not a good time for anybody. I am proud of myself in that sense because I did have a lot of social anxiety growing up, and I still carried it. I still carry it. But in on that deployment, while everyone was watching movies on their phone and doing other stuff, just being miserable, I took it upon myself to try and meet people. So I was like, oh, I'm going to meet one new person every day. So I was trying to make myself better regardless of the fat of the situation I was in.
That's awesome. I too was out away from the States during COVID. I was in Bahrain. And it's funny, one of my last episodes that I did was with someone else who was deployed during COVID. And so it's funny hearing the different COVID perspectives. I think everyone kind of made light out of it the best they could because it was such a weird time period. Thankfully, I was not on any kind of ship, but yeah, I felt for all the guys that were out on those 9, 11 month long deployments. Did you guys stop at any ports at all?
We stopped at a couple since we were infantry. We got to get off a couple times to do some training stuff. So I mean, we got to go off a couple times. Other people did not, which is terrible. We
You're
stopped.
like,
We
bye,
yeah, wasn't
guys.
fun, but we at
Yeah.
least we got
Hey,
to get some
it's
fresh air.
something. You got to take
Right.
what you can get.
Oh,
I am
100%.
curious if you're able to share anything. You mentioned the border was interesting. What was interesting about it, if you're able to share?
Yeah, so it was very, I don't want to talk a lot of shit on my command, but we had a weird command dynamic. Things were very off-putting for a lot of people. Things just weren't ran very well for us. I guess I mean, we weren't used to that kind of lifestyle. Half the time we lived on a different base, the other time we lived in hotels, and it was very secretive, but not secretive. Like we were, like for example, we were supposed to be deterrents on the border. Like we were there to deter. So we wanted to be very visible. At the same time, our leadership wanted us to hide and throw camo netting over ourselves and be very hidden kind of thing. It didn't really make sense, and we weren't really explained why and how. And a lot of people got in trouble. There's a lot of NJPs. Higher ups were doing things wrong. We were getting yelled at left and right, and we were working directly border control. And it was a lot of long hours, long days. I know I worked sometimes. Some of my shifts would be 12 hours long, and it was just a lot. I was swing shift, which is the worst shift to be on. I know the nighttime guys would always be late. We would always relieve the morning guys super early. So we were just on, and it was just. And then, actual border wise, a lot of people came over. Like we were stopping a lot of people. There was quite a bit of suicides that were there that we witnessed. It was crazy. Like it was very crazy. Like I don't probably not compared to now, but it back then at least it was weird. It's crazy to see, really.
That's interesting. I'm curious how that experience and really all your experiences when you were serving, how those affected you. Because I hear different things from different people. Some people think that serving in combat operations and seeing gruesome things, like really, or things that might cause moral injury in certain people, they're okay with it. It doesn't bother them at all. Other people have a really hard time with it. So what were your overall feelings about the things that you got to see and experience while you served?
I'm one of the guys that it didn't bother too much. I honestly didn't mind that stuff. The things that really bothered me was poor leadership in the direction of me losing guys, like suicide and whatnot, accidents. That's where things really messed with me. Of course, it's gonna mess with you because
Right.
your family members dying at that point. But the other stuff, it didn't really bother me. I was in it. I knew what I was getting myself into. I expected more, and
Right.
I almost wanted more, honestly.
Yeah. How common was it to lose guys in your unit to suicide or accidents or, any method? I guess you mentioned a few.
Oh, too common. It's very more common than it should be, and not definitely not addressed as much as it should be, condition wise and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't have statistics or anything,
Right.
so
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think the statistics are correct anyway.
yeah,
I
probably
really
not.
don't. I think that it's one of the mental health is one of those things that is still so stigmatized that a lot of bigger organizations don't like to highlight. Hey guys, we lost this many people this year to suicide. And the statistics exist, they have to, but I don't think that, just personal opinion, I don't think that they're as accurate as they should be. Because if we asked most service members, have you had a suicidal thought? And people were honest, I think that those statistics would be through the roof.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And most people won't admit it either, too. So,
And then it's the stigma, unfortunately, because there are still job fields in the military where people are afraid of losing their career, which, as we alluded to, can cause a huge identity crisis for people, especially those that can't finish out their full contract. So, you now what with what you do, you mentioned that you do work with some veterans, yeah?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so what's that experience been like? Do you feel like you're able to be that camaraderie for each other in working with veterans?
That's the goal, honestly. I think so. When I was kind of thinking about who the type of audience I wanted to aim towards and help, it took me a little while to understand. And the more I looked, the more I realized there was kind of a hole. Like, sure, there's so many better coaches than I am, but there's also not many coaches that understand how to target these people. And they need help. Like, there's other. How many people do you know that got out of the military and gained a bunch of weight
Oh,
or are just
probably just
unhealthy?
about everyone
Exactly,
gains
exactly,
some fluff after the military.
exactly. And it's almost like it hurts your confidence,
Yeah.
right? Like, it's kind of like you earned this confidence. Like I said before, you earned this confidence. Like, where did it go? It doesn't
Right.
have to go away. And I kind of want to, a goal of mine is to bring that back into people because we have it, right? It's there and you deserve it. You should have it. You're not a normal person. You are different and you need to understand that you can still be that person you once were. I think we come out of the military and it was something I struggled with, that identity crisis. Like, I'm not in the military anymore. I guess I'm just a civilian, but really you're not. Like, you're still that person that you were when you were in, and
Right.
it's okay to be that person. And people, you shouldn't have to. And another reason I didn't go and work for anybody else is because I just couldn't. I understand that I wouldn't fit in anywhere and people wouldn't understand me, and the only person that's gonna get it is me. And then
Right.
where does that leave everyone else? Like, I feel like I have this duty to help more people in that situation understand who they are and what they can be.
I love it. And it's so important, especially when we look at how physical health links directly to mental health. And when we're sitting around and we're being stagnant and sulking in our feelings, as many of us do when we separate, I mean, it's not helping, and everything kind of compounds on each other. And I think that's where I found myself when I separated from the military, was just kind of like sitting around and not doing anything with my life. So I'm so very appreciative of the work that you are doing, because it, especially in the veteran community and even in the active duty community, it's very, very much needed. So just wanted to shout you out for that, because it's very important. So right now, what are some of your goals with your business? Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Loaded question, I know.
Yeah. unfortunately, when you are out to serve, and I mean, if I could do this for free, I would. I'd honestly, I mean, it's fulfilling on its own, but I can't. So I have to have goals, income goals, in order to sustain myself and the business. Obviously, I have income goals in that sense. And then I don't have specific goals. I'm still developing them, because the more I target that audience, the more I realize there's something here, and I can build upon this more and more, which is cool to be in a space where you're like, I'm here and there's so much opportunity. Like, there's ideas flowing all the time. So
my brain works the same way. It's kind of annoying sometimes, because it's like, just sort of constant ideas, and you can't make them all happen at once. So I get it. So what, talk to us about, what do you, right now, what are your ideal clients? Who are you looking to work with? What is the best way that people can contact you to either work with you or just support you?
So I work with, I like to, my ideal client would be veterans and or high performers and military alike of all branches. My Instagram page is probably my best place to where you can see me and my stuff. That's Hagar_bear fitness, like the animal bear. And there I have a lot of free knowledge that I just go and like it, go follow, go comment, ask me questions. I'm always constantly giving out free knowledge. Just message me. And then on Facebook, I do have a Facebook group that everyone is welcome to. Trying to really develop a family there. A lot more veterans need to be in there as well. And that's called Sustainable Performance for Lasting Health. So I would love for anyone to be in there, just to be there. I give away free knowledge. I give classes every week. And I'm always in there doing something. So.
Love it. Love it. I'm definitely going to go support the Facebook page. And then I hope, if you're listening to this episode, supporting on social media is free. So please go do it. The more we can help each other out in the veteran community, the more we can serve each other, because you never know, even if you might not need the help, you never know who in your circle might need the help. So I will make sure to post all that information in the show notes for anyone who wants to go check out and support the business. And remind me, are you just remote when you work with clients, or are you also in person?
I'm mainly remote. I mean, with my powerlifting clients, I do in-person stuff, but mainly remote. Yeah.
Where are you located at?
California right now.
California, Southern California?
Valley, middle Valley. California.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not super familiar with California. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Brandon, for taking the time to come on the show, share a little bit about your story, and share a little bit about what you do and how you serve the veteran community and the non-veteran community. Like I said earlier, I think what you do is so, so very important, and it's needed. So I'm very much appreciative of your line of work. For my last question for you, I'm just going to ask if you have any last words or pieces of advice that you want to share with the listeners.
Support your local veterans and go to the gym.
Thank you for taking the time to listen in today. With your support, we are able to increase awareness of the mental health issues affecting service members and veterans today, with the goal of creating positive change. If you got value from this episode, please take 30 seconds to subscribe and share this episode within your own network. Until next time, remember, your story matters, your mental health matters, and your story doesn't end here.